Wonderful to have family here. Good stuff. Well, we begin our service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal number 549. And I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas before I forget. Not that that's going to happen, but just in case. 549, and we begin by singing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
We're going to deviate a little bit since we have a choir this morning, and I'd like for you to turn in the red hymnal to number 256, and we will sing O Holy Night. Number 256, O Holy Night, in the red hymnal.
It is the night of the day.
Well, that warmed my heart. Amen. Thanks for singing with me. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious God, Lord, we just come before you as one body of believers in your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we are here to praise the birth of your Son. And Lord, I just am just so thankful for all the family that is here this morning to come and worship you on this Christmas day. And God, we come before you with the needs and the requests that we have in our lives, the things that we are trying to overcome, the challenges that we're facing, the concerns that we have. And God, you remind us in the presence of our worship that under all of those circumstances that we have been involved in, that you have never left us and you have never forsaken us. And Lord, we praise you for that. But God, we have those needs. We ask that you give us that discernment and that patience, that understanding that you want us to have, that love and that compassion and that forgiveness that you want us to show to ourselves and to others. And God, we'd ask that you would help us do that. And Lord, we just praise you. We lift up the patients here throughout this medical center, the families that will be visiting, the staff that is working here today. For they too, God, need to experience and understand you in their lives just as much as we do. And we lift up those prayer requests to you as well. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is going to be Angels We Have Heard on High, number 250. Opportunity to read the Christmas story from up here, so you can just stay where you're at. Don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to embarrass myself by reading this. Do you know why we give gifts at Christmas? We give presents because it is Jesus' birthday. Long ago, an angel told Mary she would have a baby named Jesus. Mary and her husband Joseph were very happy. They had a lot to do to get ready for the baby. First, they had to take a long trip to Bethlehem. Mary rode a donkey and Joseph walked. When they got to Bethlehem, many people were there. Mary and Joseph were very tired, but there was no place for them to stay. They slept on a bed of hay in a stable with a cow and the donkey. That night, baby Jesus was born. Angels told the shepherds, "Jesus is born. You will find him laying in a manger." They all brought baby Jesus presents because they loved him. We give gifts at Christmas to show our love and to say, "Happy birthday, baby Jesus." Amen. That summarizes it pretty well. And that's not my sermon, so I'll let you know that. Our next hymn is number 252, Away in the Manger. Number 252, Away in a Manger. Scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 22. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. When Joseph got up from sleeping, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. Amen. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful with all the worship that we've had thus far. You have truly lifted up our hearts, our spirits. You've reminded us of the things that we need to have in our souls to enrich our lives. And God, I would ask that you would just help me to continue that enrichment in my life and in each and every one of the lives here. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Now on Sunday, a couple days ago, we talked about Christmas resilience in terms of how do we respond to different circumstances in our lives, how to cope. And today, on Christmas Day, we're going to focus on Christmas resilience 2. Because there's a second part in terms of how we respond to things in our lives, how we cope, how we deal with the circumstances that we face. One of my favorite movies, and my wife can tell you this, is A Christmas Carol. In fact, I have probably watched every different version of A Christmas Carol that there is. And it is one of my favorites. Whether it's the Muppets one, which I love the Muppets Christmas Carol, or whether it's one of the older ones, one of the ones from the 1930s, in terms of A Christmas Carol, and I've watched that one too, the actual colorized version. Have you ever watched that one on Amazon? And so as I watch A Christmas Carol, I always find different new meanings and truth in terms of our lives and how we should respond to Christmas. In fact, this year I've been actually watching the one, The Man Who Invented Christmas. I don't know if you've watched that one. And I was watching that one many times to kind of get a little understanding in terms of at least the dramatic portrayal of how Charles Dickens came to write A Christmas Carol. But one of the things that always sticks out, regardless of what version I am watching, is when the ghost of Christmas present is there with Scrooge, and he reveals two children beneath his robes. And can anyone tell me what are the names of those two children underneath the ghost of Christmas present? Does anyone know? Ignorance and want, yes. And if we were playing Jeopardy, yes. What is ignorance and want in the form of a question? So ignorance and want. And so today, I want to ask you, within our daily lives, do we go forth in life with ignorance and want, or do we go through life with truth and contentment? Because if we look at the opposite meaning of ignorance and want, the best one that I can think of that actually fits good into my sermon is truth and contentment. Now, you might have other antonyms that you feel might be more appropriate, but for me, truth and contentment matches really good. So when we think about Christmas Day and what it means and what it represents, I think God wants us to understand that he doesn't want us to go through life in ignorance, but he wants us to understand and to go through life in truth. In fact, before you can even understand the whole idea of want and contentment and the role that those two play with each other, you have to understand what truth represents. And one of the things I do, one of the many things I do, is I teach comparative religion at the community college level. And when I talk about comparative religions, one of the things I emphasize is what is truth and what does truth represent and is there an ultimate truth? And I always put students in a frame of mind to give them that question and then also hopefully to give them that answer. In fact, some of the students that I have are Marines, and they always joke with me in the classroom that anytime I ask them a question and I ask them for a response, some of them have replied, and I quote, "Sir, I've been in the Marine Corps for 2 years, and they've never asked me to think." And you're asking me to think right now in response to your question. And so this morning, I want you to think about where you're at in your relationship with God and whether you have ignorance or whether you have truth, and then after that, whether you have want or whether you have contentment. Because those are very important questions as we think about Christmas Day and our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because it's very easy for us to do the superficial things on Christmas Day to give the appearance that we are happy and that everything is hunky-dory, peachy-keen. But it's another thing for us to ask that question of our soul in terms of our relationship with God and our relationship to each other and go a little deeper than just the surface. Now, I have enjoyed Christmas Day thus far. In fact, I got up this morning, I turned the ready-made fireplace on TV, right, with the Christmas songs. I got my coffee, I sat there, turned the Christmas tree lights, turned the candle tree lights on, turned the lights on outside, and I was just enjoying Christmas Day, and Lynn was enjoying her Christmas slumber, and I just enjoyed the moment. And I've enjoyed all of you being here. It's been very important to me. In fact, I actually told Lynn this morning that I have not felt as encouraged this morning as I am today right now because of all of you being here. So thank you. But having said all of that, part of my nature is to ask those questions and to make us think. In fact, when Lynn is having trouble going to sleep at night, she asks me to start talking to her about philosophy and about theology because it immediately puts her to sleep. So that kind of tells you what kind of relationship we have. So don't be afraid if I'm asking you questions, because I definitely do not want to put you to sleep. That is not my purpose. But my purpose this morning is for you to consider the aspects of Christmas that maybe you have not thought about. To go past just a little bit, past the surface. To take a look at your soul, to ask that question about whether you have that relationship with Jesus Christ that God wants you to have so you can understand that truth. Because all of us, I think, are looking for that ultimate truth and to understand that the word Emmanuel means God is with us in all of those circumstances that we have faced. And it's difficult for us to understand because within all of those circumstances, we ask the question of God, why? Because so many different things have happened to me and they've happened to you that we just ask that question because it doesn't seem to make any sense. And I know I do not have that answer for you. I am not here to answer that for you today. But I am here to tell you that when we celebrate Christmas, it means that God is always with us and that we are not alone. That within all of our imperfections, all of our character flaws, everything that we are, God is with us because God has created us just the way that we are. And I know that I would love to change some things about myself, but you know what? Some things are just not going to change. I am what I am, and I just need to acknowledge God. Thank you for making me who I am. I know I can tweak it a little bit. I know I can make myself better. But God, thank you for the contentment that you've given me, because I understand the truth that you have presented to me. And I don't want to be anyone different than who I am and how you've created. And I think that's how we incorporate the whole idea of having truth and contentment versus ignorance and wants. If you are not happy with yourself this morning, then perhaps you should reflect on Christmas Day and what it represents, that God wants you to always be walking in truth. God wants you to be reminded that He is always with us. And God wants you to be happy with yourself and content, because that's the truth that should be represented in our lives. And once again, as we've stated before in this chapel, that on all of those imperfections that we have, God still says, I've created you in a very special way. Rejoice in that. And I know that I have found that when I rejoice in all of my flaws, and yes, I did look in the mirror this morning, and yes, I did try to comb my hair, but there was nothing there. But in the same way, as we look and reflect on our own personal lives, many times we want to be someone else or something else. And God says, no, you can tweak yourself a little bit. You can change yourself a little bit here and a little bit there. But you know what? I have created you just for who you are. And I love you for just who you are. And in the same way, when we are interacting with each other, when we are together, God wants us to acknowledge each other in the same way. I appreciate you and love you just for who you are this morning, in the same way that God appreciates me. And then we are truly living the truth that God wants us to live by. And the part of us within our soul is truly satisfied and contented with that truth. And the ultimate truth, of course, is that God wants us to love one another the way that he has loved us. That is that truth that we need to strive for on a regular basis. And then we will find that contentment that we want. That the desire that God wants us to have will be his desires and not our own. That the joy that we are looking for, the peace that we are looking for, will be there. And it's not something in which it happens in an instantaneous moment and we no longer have to work for it. It is something that is an ongoing process. I wish there was a saying that I could give you that every time you say that saying, everything will be great, everything will be wonderful. But there is no saying other than for you to understand that God is always with you, God is always with me. And that's why we celebrate Christmas as a reminder that God is with us. Because it is in those times, in the stillness, in the quietness of our daily lives, that God asks us that question, are you understanding and following the truth that I represent? The truth that is represented by the cross. It is not a fairy tale. It is not an allegory. It is a miracle that we live by. And we live by the miracle of Christ's birth. Because you, if you believe in that story, if I believe in that story, then we are truly believing in a miracle. And that miracle does not end there. It is only the beginning with Christ's birth. And the miracles continue on in our day, in the present time. The miracles of the circumstances that God places us in. The miracles that we see ourselves in our everyday lives as we see God touching people's lives. Miracles have not ended. They continue. And we are an example of that miracle. I am an example of that miracle. And I've stated to you before that if it wasn't for Christ being in my life, I would either be dead or I would be in prison. There was no two other paths for me to choose. But when I came to know Christ as my personal Savior, that path took a different direction from where I was headed. So when we think about Christmas Day, I want us to rejoice in all the good things. Everything that you eat today is calorie-free. It's healthy for you. Indulge yourself and worry about it next year as you make those New Year's resolutions. So it is my hope and prayer that you take with us the joy of the time we've had of worship, the hymns that we have sung together, and just being together as one family, as one body of believers in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take a few moments as we prepare our hearts for communion. And it is a reminder as we reflect upon the truth that is in our lives and the contentment that God wants us to have. Because in communion, we truly are no longer ignorant of what God has done for us, and we truly have no more want. Let us pray. Our God, I'm so thankful that you've just given us this wonderful day. And Lord, as we partake of communion, it's a way for each and every one of us to connect on this Christmas day, the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. That gives us the true meaning of Christ's birth, which is our salvation. And Lord, we praise you that we can be connected together through communion. And God, we'd ask that you would forgive us of all of our imperfections, the things that we have just not done right in our lives, the sins that we've committed. Because God, you accept us and you love us and you forgive us of all of those things. And we praise you for that. Amen. I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 272, "What Child Is This Who Laid to Rest?"
Let loving hearts enthroned.
Gracious God, Lord, we are just so blessed by just being here on this Christmas day. And God, I would ask that you would remind us every day that you want us to walk in truth and that you want us to walk in contentment and that we can do both as your Holy Spirit reminds us that you are always with us. Help us, God, I pray. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Merry Christmas, and thank you for coming.